You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Hey, everyone. So Jordan and I recorded this episode virtually. And for some reason, my audio did not connect. So for half of this episode, it sounds a little echoey. It sounds like I am in a very empty room. So apologies and bear with us for the audio around minute 40. It reconnects to my microphone, so it'll sound much better. But we are so glad that you're listening. Sorry for these technical difficulties and enjoy the episode.
Hey, housewives.
Hey.
Welcome to Desperate. I never call anybody housewives.
I know. I kind of liked it.
I'm trying to make it a thing.
I liked it.
Call people who listen to this. But you're listening to Desperate. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
And we are two unwed women taking a walk down Wisteria Lane from ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. We're really seeing what we can learn from these ladies. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd be learning household skills, how to parent, how to be married. Instead, we're learning manipulation, deviousness, and how to fail at committing a crime.
Yeah. What not to do.
Yeah. It's been an exciting ride. Jordan has watched the series before once, mm-hmm. well, twice. She was a super fan growing up. I don't know.
I was a big fan every Sunday night.
I've never watched, so everything is quite a surprise to me. But some things are surprises to Jordan as she's rewatching too.
Yeah, like details I forgot about.
Yes. So we are midway through season two now. You should know from the title of this episode what you're getting into. It's season two, episode 11. But if you're new around here, I'll give you the lowdown on how it works.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about briefly what happened in the previous episode so you're not completely lost. Go into our own desperate deeds to get you warmed up for what's going to happen. Then we recap the episode. Like I said, season 2, episode 11 today is titled One More Kiss. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's lots of eating each other's faces.
Oh, yeah. I have high expectations.
And after that, we evaluate the episode on several different scales. And last week, we had maybe the worst episode we've ever reviewed.
At least of this season, for sure.
It was called Coming Home, I believe. And it got in the threes. This season's been, a lot in the fours.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good episodes, actually, so far, that we really enjoyed.
Yeah, we've had a lot of greatness happen. But that one was a near miss.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, to summarize it, one-liners. Andrew came home from Camp Hennessy and caused problems for Bree.
Yeah.
Zach came home to Paul, which, made Mike be like, what? Susan tried to start a relationship with her dad, which was super shitty, and he's addicted to sex.
Yeah, no, he was, calling prostitutes, so.
And then Gabby tried to keep Carlos from going abroad with his nun that he's in love with.
Yeah, that whole. Yeah, no, so that last episode, basically, Sister Mary Bernard, for some reason that name really sticks into my head, but she tried to get Carlos to go with her to, where was it? It's somewhere in Africa.
Botswana.
Oh, Botswana, yeah. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah, Botswana.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah. To do mission work after Gabby, funds the trip to get Sister Mary Bernard out of there. And when Carlos goes to get his, vaccinations, Gabby straight up just, lies to the doctor, so.
Well, he threw the clipboard at her and he was like, bitch, fill this out.
Yeah, no, but she straight up, okay, part of me, though, is she could have, killed him.
He was being an asshole.
I know, but I'm like.
Literally, she could have, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, but yeah, Carlos, sorry, if it wasn't a given, Carlos has been an asshole this entire time about this nun situation.
Because he found God, he thinks that he's, too good for this now.
Yeah, absolutely. So he is giving Gabby shit, so she basically says, fuck you, and she, he has, like, a bad reaction, so he can't go. But then as Gabby's, like, holding him in bed, he's, like, basically moans Sister Mary's name. So he's having some sort of vision.
Fucking awkward.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't murder him right
now. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I would have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about, we'll talk about the Applewhites, too. What happened? They had movement in their storyline mm-hmm. last episode that we didn't. I didn't cover my one-liner, but for Susan, her dad is clearly addicted to sex, has been cheating on his wife for all 39 years of their marriage, because mm-hmm. Susan is 38, and he's been married 39 years, so
yeah.
There's that, but he starts coming over for coffee, she's trying to, like, really be friends with him or whatever, he's not interested, and then he calls her from the police station to have pick him up because mm-hmm. he solicited a sex worker, and he says it's entrapment and he's the victim, but clearly this has been an issue time and again.
Yeah, he has serious problems.
Yeah, so after that, I feel like he was self-sabotaging. He's like, why do you still even want me in your life after mm-hmm. I made you bail me out of jail? And she's like, I try to give second chances or whatever she says, and his wife, Carol, sees her dropping him off after mm-hmm. the police station bonanza. Yeah. And Carol writes whore, or Carolyn, I don't know what her name is, something like that.
It's Carol.
Carol yeah. writes whore on her garage door. So yeah. that happens, and then Susan's at the store. She meets Carol, who starts trying to beat her up, and she's like, no, I'm his daughter. I'm not cheating with him.
Yeah.
And that's when we find out that it's been going on the entire marriage. He's been cheating and probably paying for sex and doing whatever.
Yeah,
and
being then, a fucking monster.
Yeah, just being a bad dude. And then she's painting in the rain and he comes over and is like, so I really like to be a part of your life now.
Mm-hmm.
He decides that, I guess, after this whole ordeal, probably because his wife is about to divorce him.
Yeah, because he has nothing else.
Need a friend. And he says, I need to work on my marriage, but I'll give you a call sometime. And I made the joke that the most realistic outcome would be that he actually never fucking calls her and ghosts her and never comes
yeah.
back in the series, but I know that won't happen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Susan.
Do you want me to jump into Lynette?
Sure, go ahead. She had a shitty storyline, too.
It was just super short and, like, weird and boring, but basically Lynette wants a daycare center at her work, and in order to qualify, you have to have 16 kids, which a surprising amount of people at their office have, like, a lot of kids.
Way too many kids.
So they get to 15, and she tries to convince her boss to bring in his baby so they could get that 16th kid. And he's like, no, my wife's crazy. Like, she's obsessed with our child. So Lynette tries to talk to her, and his wife, Fran, is, like, a total bitch. Basically saying, like, why do people even have kids if they can't be home with them all day and, like, love them and be smothering?
Okay.
Yeah, no, she was so mean. And so then, like, it was weird because it felt like this was going to drag on for a while. But then by the end of the episode, it's resolved because Ed decides to, like, kidnap his baby and bring it to work. And Fran shows up freaking out. And then Lynette, like, takes their baby, locks herself in another office, and, like, mediates between them. And then problem solved. Like, it was, like, so, like, and, like, there's obviously a little more nuance to it, but that really was exactly what happened. Like, it was a very weird storyline that they kind of made seem like it was not going to be resolved that quickly or easily.
Although I just don't care about Lynette's kids being at the office ever.
I know. I'm like, also, Lynette, do you really want your children at your job? Your psycho kids?
I guess she's, like, working so much. It would be nice to have them there. But, like, how awful for your kids to, like, be stuck at the office with you.
Also, what is Tom going to do all day?
I know Tom needs something to do. That was Lynette. It was my least favorite.
Yeah.
Bree had my favorite storyline because mm-hmm. Andrew returned, and we all know I'm obsessed. So
yeah.
Andrew is just freely fucking Justin at their household now because he's mad at his mom.
Yeah.
So he's having gay sex all over their house. And Bree doesn't like it. She's like, what kind of friend is Justin? And Andrew's like, the good kind.
I'm like, this is whack.
Yeah, so he's mad at his mom because George, like, he stepped into their life. And nobody listened to Andrew, and mm-hmm. She told Andrew that he killed Rex. George killed Rex by poisoning him. And he's like, this is all your fucking fault for being irresistible. And he thought he was obsessed with you.
Yeah.
And so he fights Justin over. They're playing the lamest game ever. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We looked into it.
Video game. Yeah, it was super weird.
Not the book, not the movie.
Yeah.
So they're
playing. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, they basically fuck. And I mean, not much happens. Andrew gets evil again, and he's like, my mother won't love me because I'm gay, so I decided not to love her first, and I'm gonna find something to, like, get back at her. And then Bree's like, we're going to counseling because you need it. And he's like, don't think so.
Yeah, he's like, nice try.
Yeah, and she's like, I need to admit something to you. I mean, she's throwing a Hail Mary. I need to admit to you that I actually watched George die, and I didn't call the ambulance because fuck that dude. And he's like, things are telling me that, Mom, but then had, like, an evil ass smile.
Yeah, he looked, like, extremely devious from that.
And, like, gets what he wants and keeps fucking Justin as much as he wants. So it's really a win-win-win for Andrew right now, as we left it. And the Applewhites, we were introduced to a character, we do not know his name.
Applewhites
were all over. I guess Betty is volunteering at the hospital, that the mental hospital that Caleb is in, because they captured Caleb. She's volunteering there to play piano. Matt and her make this plan to get Caleb out, and they do it. And this weird dude who is apparently has a hit out, it looks like, on Caleb, sees them take Caleb out of the hospital. And they put him back in his sex dungeon.
That. Where he's chained up. Yeah. It's fucking nuts.
That's where we end up. And then Zach returns home to Paul.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Paul is like, IDK, who your father is.
Yeah, he, like, lies to his face. And then he, like, threatens Mike. He's like, Mike and him have this weird showdown where they're both just like, we'll get each other thrown in jail if Zach ever finds out, I guess. I don't know. Or if you try to move away.
He's like, your mother is a junkie, but I really don't know who your fucking father is.
So. Yeah, he's like, who knows? Sorry. Yeah, probably just another junkie.
Yeah. So, Zach's home, being homeschooled. I think that's the vibe. They're never letting him socialize again.
Nope, not at this rate.
Cool. Well, now we can move on to our desperate deeds.
I can go.
If you're prepped and ready, go ahead.
My desperate deed is kind of just like one of those, like, look, break the fourth wall moments. But right when I moved here, I was dating some guy, and, like, he ended up breaking up with me. But, like, when we were texting one day, like, during the breakup, he, like, sent me a screenshot of our texts.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was super shitty and embarrassing. I was in the backseat of my friend's car. And I was like, wow. So I'm trying to call him. Like, obviously my desperate moment was to act even more desperate in that situation. Turns out he was, like, talking to his sister about it, and that's who he was sending it to. I'm like, great. Love this. Awesome. Yeah. We ended up breaking up that day, so that was really cool.
I don't think he was desperate to call him. Like, he was breaking up with you over text.
And he was, like, sending me screenshots. Like, he was talking about it to other people. I was like, great.
Yeah.
I'm like, my worst fucking nightmare. But yeah, it's short, but that was one of the worst, like, my heart fell through my ass moments.
The most desperate you'll ever be over text is, like, when you have just, it doesn't have to be a breakup, but I've done it to friends where I've screenshot whatever I said to them and, like, sent it to them on accident, and I'm like, oh my god, you're never more desperate than when you're trying to make up a reason, like, why that's even happening. Like, and it wasn't even anything. It was like, we were making plans. It was like me and my good friend Reggie, we were making plans, and I think somebody was just like, what is the plan? And I just, like, screenshot what the plan was, but, like, send it back to Reggie, and I was like, oh my fucking god, like, I'm so sorry, I was just sending it to, like, so-and-so. And I was like, fuck, I look like an asshole. Like,
yeah, no, it's like the worst.
Just, no.
And it always sounds fake when you do have a reason.
Yeah, I get hyper paranoid about it. Like,
no, nothing is scarier than thinking you sent a text like that to the person that you screenshot.
When I had my friendship, I had a friendship breakup last year, basically, and I was texting you about it. I even got paranoid during that situation because there were like long ass texts that were fucking weird.
Yeah.
From this chick, and I'm like sending them to Jordan. I'm like, I hope I don't fucking send that back to her because she already.
That would just make this so much worse.
Yeah, it already seemed like it's just fucked up right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, luckily, never. Haven't done that lately, knock on wood. I don't want to keep talking about it, otherwise I might curse it. My desperate deed is that it has to do with getting your period. So if you're a male listener, you're more than welcome to skip, or if you don't want to hear about it, whatever. But that's what it's about. If you're uncomfortable, for whatever reason. I got my first period when I was like 11. I was just pretty young, I guess.
That is pretty young, yeah.
That's pretty young. I never had big tits or anything. It wasn't like I was going through puberty hardcore. I just got my period, and I was devastated. I remember, like, telling my mom, because, like, it doesn't look like blood at first. It's not red. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. And my mom was like, oh, my God, you got your period. And she was, like, happy for me. And I was like, I literally cried. That's not what's desperate.
No.
So then I go into sixth grade. And I'm, like, getting my period, but I don't use tampons because I'm, like, 11. And I don't, like, my body, I just don't. And the anatomy of it, I was, like, not ready for that. So I use, like, period pads. And they make, like, these big bulky ones that are, like, diaper-ish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. And I was just, like, 11 with, like, really heavy periods, and I have no idea why. And I remember going to, I had this crazy teacher. Her name was Mrs. O'Kelly. She was, like, I think this lady, like, for real did math. Like, she would be like, we're doing an assignment, and you would, like, take out paper. And she'd be like, stop rattling your papers, everybody. And she would, like, scream at us. And,
what
like,
the fuck?
Multiple parents, like, complained to the school, Truman Middle School. Like, multiple people complained. My mother complained. I was like, this lady is fucking crazy enough to go to her fifth period every day. Like, she's wild. I went into, like, fifth period, which is near the end of the day because you only have six, and I was on my period, and I was just, like, doing whatever. She's being crazy that day, but I get up from my chair, and we had, like, those gray, like, really stiff, like, chairs, like that, which is every, I feel like they're standard in school, and I got up, and there was, like, red all over it. Like, I had been moving around in my chair, and there was, like,
red swatches,
like, all, like, clear, like, I bled all over this chair.
Like,
an 11-year-old. And I, like, had to go to one more class after that, and I didn't have any more pads. I had nothing. And so I was like, what the fuck do I do? And I was wearing, like, denim jeans because that was a part of our uniform at school. Like, you had to wear, like, jeans or khakis and a polo. Like, So I was wearing denim. So you know that there was a red-ass blotch on my denim somewhere that I bled through. And I was, like, wearing a sweatshirt. I was like, what do I do? And I have to walk home from school after this. I have to walk, like, a half mile home to school. I've already bled. It's like, oh, my God. It was my fucking nightmare.
Oh, my God.
And in order to walk home, I have to, like, walk by, like, every single classroom. My desperate deed is I had, like, an oversized. It wasn't even oversized because we weren't Gen Z yet. Like, it was big, though, this big sweatshirt that was, like, a part of the uniform. And it said, like, our school on it. So I have never stretched a sweatshirt so far down. I stretched it so it would cover my entire butt so that, like, I was like, I don't want anybody behind me. Like, the buses are driving by. I didn't want anybody to see that I had, like, a red splotch of period blood on my butt, probably. And so I stretched it all the way, like, under my butt cheek and then, like, walked home for the half mile that way.
Oh, no.
And got home and, like, fucking bawled my eyes out. And I was like, I bled through my pad. And, like,
oh, no.
So my mom was like, well, are you changing them? And I'm like, I was like, yes, I changed it three times today. And she's like,
jeez.
I guess it's just heavy. And I'm like, no 11-year-old should have to, like, deal with a period. And, like,
yeah, fuck no.
Periods are the bane of my existence, so.
Damn, I didn't get my first period till I was 16, so I was really lucky.
So you are a little bit, like, Okay, you're in a better headspace to handle your body at 16, maybe.
Yeah. The only problem was I only got like 4 periods a year, though. So every time it would hit, it was unexpected.
Yeah.
I had like no, it sucked. But
there's no real cycle of those ages. You're
just yeah.
Like, here.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, and then the next day, Mrs. O'Kelly was like, if you need like to go to the bathroom like more than once, like it's fine. And I was like, I didn't even know what to say. I was just embarrassed.
Yeah, like, of course you were.
Like, you fucking meth addict.
Yeah, no, you were, that's fucked up.
Yeah, so fun times in middle school. In middle school, you're already, like, so vulnerable, too.
No, I probably would have never gone back to school ever again. I would have never gone back.
I think I tried to switch middle schools at one point. I hated middle school. It was literally the worst time of my life.
I hated middle school, too. I was, like, the most... Yeah, I was super hairy. I was awkward looking. Like, it was great.
There were chicks that were way hot in middle school. I was not one of them. Like,
yeah.
I had no sense of style. It was the early 2000s. I think Desperate Housewives was probably on.
Oh, yeah. It was totally on.
I was wearing shit, like, worse than what Julie wears. Like, worse.
I know, that's how I dress, too. I think that's why I'm extra triggered when I watch and see these outfits. I'm super
triggered by this fashion that we've been seeing.
Yeah, I'm like, this is taking me to a dark, dark time.
It's so bad. Like, even I've been posting the Fit Inspo Fridays once in a while. Gabby's Dolce & Gabbana dress is even fucking disgusting. Even that dress is gross, I think. I would never wear that, still.
Yeah, no, I don't... They did not do a good job with... Yeah, any of the fat. None of it holds up. Let's just say that.
No. So, we hope you're ready to dive into some 2005 nonsense. Mm-hmm. We're going to go watch the episode, season 2, episode 11, titled One More Kiss. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on Hulu or Amazon Prime, I believe. We've been watching it on Hulu. So, if it's not on Amazon Prime anymore, let us know. I'll check. But
yeah, I don't know.
You can go ahead and watch, or you can just listen along, and we will be right back where we go. You know we like to be safe, so buckle up.
Buckle up.
A kiss between Gabby and Tom sends Lynette spiraling. Carlos's eye wanders in an unexpected direction. Susan takes Mike and Zach bowling and hopes there's a spark. Bree calls Carl to put Andrew in his place. Paul and Mike butt heads about Zach's return.
So, one thing we learned is that Carlos has the hots for Lynette. He's a horny motherfucker for Lynette.
I'm kind of like low-key like, what's wrong with Carlos? Like, he's just that down to fuck his wife's friend.
He was so down.
Yeah, that shit was wild. Also, I think the lesson to take away here is maybe don't kiss your friend's significant others.
Don't ever. It's not a funny party joke. And don't make her feel like shit for making out with him.
Like, she was being super catty with that. I was like, Gabby, like, even if you don't fully get it, like, your friend's upset. Maybe don't be a bitch about it.
She's like, it was just a kiss. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you made out with my husband in front of an entire party of people, you fucking whore.
Yeah, no. Oh my god. Wow, you got some strong feelings about that. Fucking whore.
That's how I would address it.
Would be like, friendship over. Like, you're a fucking slut. Get out of here.
I did have a friend one time, I think I told you about it, because I was so shocked. My boyfriend at the time and I went on a ski trip, and this girl that was one of my good friends at the time, like, was really drunk and, like, massaged my boyfriend in front of me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I mean, we're not friends anymore for multiple reasons, that being one of them, but, like, yeah, that was wild. And I, like... literally ruined an entire game. We were playing some game and I just straight up got up and left. I was like, I will not watch this. And my boyfriend and I was like, why'd you leave? And I'm like, because this chick was fucking massaging you.
Yeah, like set boundaries, bro. Like, what the fuck?
I know. I thought it was weird. I was uncomfortable. And I was like, well, why didn't you fucking move? Like, you just let it happen. And, like, it was so weird. So, Don't make stupid. Out. Just don't be touching. Don't be physically, like, interested in another person's significant other.
Yeah, no, that's like, weird.
Don't be kissing. Don't be touching. Keep your hands to yourself. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Keep your hands to yourself. Fuck.
Like we said, the episode's titled One More Kiss, and the whole thing starts off with a dramatic kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mary Ossium comes in with her voiceover that saying that kisses are simple, we hardly notice them. But if we paid attention, each kiss had a meaning all its own. And it's a party at Bree's house, and we see all these different kisses. Like, one of them's so happy to see you, and it's like some kisses on the cheek. And then one is like, didn't realize you'd be there. And it's these girls giving like air kisses, being mm-hmm. like cold. And then one is, honey, it's time to stop drinking. And she kisses her husband and takes his glass away. And Mary Alice Young says the trick is knowing how to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, wow, they're all friends because everybody is hanging out for the first time ever, clocking it. This might be the first time we've seen them besides at Bree's party with Rex, where she says, you cry after you ejaculate.
Still one of the most iconic lines.
Yeah, there was maybe another party. But this is like a real party. Like, it looks like they played like games and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like they all had some shots maybe. Like, it looks like a fun party.
Like, it does look like a fun, like, middle-aged party for sure.
I actually think I would want to be there. And I don't know if I've ever said that, but Gabby is saying that she made her cheerleading squad not wear panties. That's the topic of combo.
And yeah, Tom, which is gross. Gross, by the way. Very gross, Gabby.
Very
what the fuck?
Gross. So, I had another desperate deed in mind. I'll save it for next time. It has to be not wearing underwear. On accident. But Tom and Carl are, like, jazzed at this information. They're like, oh my god, tell us more about vaginas. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Tom was saying that he was a band geek. He played the tuba, which makes me so hot for him, actually, that he had a major glow up.
Yeah.
And Gabby was saying all her secret crushes were on the band. And if I were Lynette, I would be like, weird, weird comeback to my husband's statement. Don't like that.
And yeah.
Tom is being coy, and he says you'd be more interested in guys like Carl because Carl is hot. I will say it. I know you don't agree, but I think Carl's hot. And he said, I was a lonely, insecure tuba player. I didn't even have my first kiss till I was 18. And I'm like, that's not even that bad.
Yeah, that's not horrible. It could be worse.
So we're ramping up. Gabby says, I would have kissed you. And Gabby kisses Tom on behalf of all the cheerleaders in the world, and Lynette is standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
It is not okay.
No, it's not okay at all. If you weren't sure by how we opened, coming back from watching.
Lynette is not okay. I am not okay. I felt like it was so disrespectful. It was a big kiss. It was mm-hmm. not just a little, like, peck. She, like, two hands, puts them on the cheek, like smushes his face into hers. It was not cool.
It was kind of aggressive.
Everybody's, like, laughing and cheering. I mean, Brie is a little bit, like, pouty, like, mm-hmm. cool, and Lynette is just, like, her mouth is agape.
Yeah.
And I'm with her, so.
I'm with her, too.
It hurts my soul. Yeah, then we go into our intro, and Gabby and Lynette have a little bit of interwoven overlapping storylines. So mm-hmm. we're going to cover them together, which kind of starts after the intro.
So yeah, we're going to jump into the Apple Whites first to kind of get it over with.
Yeah, once again, we're going to cover the Apple Whites because we see the guy, we don't know his name clearly still.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go over the Apple Whites first, and then we'll take it from the top where after the intro, we're back at the party.
All right, so a lot of this episode is, like, Betty and Matthew just talking. and it starts – a big part of it is, like, Matthew wants Caleb to be free, kind of, because he's, like, super restless and, like, unhappy because, like, no one likes to be chained in a basement. And Betty tells him that if he wasn't so preoccupied with Danielle, like, maybe he could spend more time with Caleb. And then she also thinks that there are, like, termites which are causing issues on the stairs. And don't worry, folks, that will come back if you thought that was random.
I know. I literally wrote down, okay, she mentions termites, and I literally thought it was one-off. It is
No.
Pay attention. I said mentions termites.
So basically, we kind of, like, Betty and Matthew leave their house, and that guy that we met last week that was pointless and, like, made no sense, he has been watching them because he followed them home after they, like, took Caleb from the, like, institution that he was at. And he, like, tries to go into the house to, I don't know, like, to, was he trying to kidnap or kill Caleb? I don't know.
It was like he was trying to kill, but then there's, like, a whole scene of them together where he, like, lets Caleb out of the chains and shit.
Yeah, so he find, like, he gets to Caleb, obviously, and tells him, like, basically he's like, don't be scared, and then it hits him.
Yeah.
Like, it's super weird. And so he goes back upstairs to get his gun, and as he's going up, he falls through the fucking stairs, and, like, his gun shoots him.
Yeah, his gun, he shoots himself.
Yeah.
Accident, so.
And so he, like, kills himself, essentially. And Caleb's just kind of like, what the fuck just happened? Because, like, all of that was so random and out of nowhere.
So no gun safety.
So Betty and Matthew get back, and they find Caleb just, like, eating ice cream. And they're like, what? And Caleb's like, I didn't do it. And they're like, what do you mean you didn't do it? So they find, like, this guy hanging in the stairs. And they kind of, like, go through all his stuff. And they see that he's from Illinois, which I guess they're from. They are, like, running from Chicago. I don't know. And he gets a phone call, and the ID says Foster. So they, I guess that's, like, the last name of the girl that, like, we keep seeing in the news. Like, Melanie Foster.
In the news.
Yeah. Like, the Melanie Foster death that we've heard talked about twice. So Betty's like, we gotta get rid of this body. So they put the body in his own car, like, in the trunk. And then Matthew is a fucking idiot and leaves the keys in the trunk. So they're like, fuck. So they just kind of have to, like, leave the car there. It's super weird, and, like, I don't know. I just feel like this episode, they're like, we got to get this plot moving. And so they threw all this in there. But I'm like, we never had a chance to even give a fuck about this guy that just died. Like, what's happening?
And then Edie, before the guy goes into the house, this guy, we don't know his name, that shoots himself, gets stuck in the stairs, that dude, before he goes in, like, Edie is running by. He's sitting in his car across the street from the Apple Whites, and Edie runs by and is like, what are you doing here? You've been parked here for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he says he's doing a property appraisal, and that some neighbors are thinking of moving. And she's like, these bitches, the Apple Whites. And he's like, I'm not allowed to stay. She's like, well, I sold them the house. And, like, I work here. This is my turf. Tell your boss that nobody sells houses, like, here but Edie. And you don't want to cross me. And he's like, I just do what I'm told. So that's going to come back as well later.
Yeah, we'll kind of come back, I guess, to the guy dead in his car.
So just remember that there's a guy dead in the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dead... Oh, well, yeah, no, never mind. He's in the trunk now. He's in the trunk of a car. The keys are locked inside. Edie saw him in his car beforehand. And, like, that's all y'all need to remember. So... back to the party.
Basically, back at the party, like, the ladies are doing the dishes, and it's, like, after most of the guests have left, and they're kind of helping Bree clean up. And Lynette's, like, pretty bothered, naturally, by what went down between Gabby and Tom. And, like, Lynette's, like, kind of, like, smiling about it. She does that thing where she's like, you know that thing you did earlier, you know, that thing we did where you kissed my husband. And to be fair, I do not know how I would approach this either. Like, this would be, like, such a awkward, like, what the fuck.
Yeah, how do you bring up that you hate that she kissed your husband?
Gabby's like, well, I was just being, like, spontaneous and fun. It wasn't, like, anything serious. Kind of, like, gaslighting Lynette into being, like, basically say, like, why are you bothered? Like, it was just a joke. Like, it was fun. Everybody thought it was funny. And, like, Brie kind of, like, chirps in, and she's like, well, you're, like, an attractive ex-model. Like, I wouldn't like if you kissed, like, my husband. Like, that would be really uncomfortable. And, like, they kind of just... like, Lynette and Gabby just kind of get, like, these polite little comments back and forth at each other. But they're clearly, like, it's put a nice little wrench into their friendship here. Then the next day, Lynette talks to Brie about it and thanks her and is like, thanks for taking my side. And then Bree like tells Gabby, or tells her that Gabby had an affair with John, which did Lynette not know?
Okay, that's a big question.
Because I thought everybody knew. Yeah.
I guess only Susan knew. How did Bree know, though? Did Gabby tell Bree at some point? Because Bree's the one telling Lynette.
I don't know. I was very confused by this because I'm like, I feel like if Bree knew, then Lynette would know.
I'm not sure why Lynette is, like, left out, because that would mean that she's the only girl that doesn't know.
Yeah. I thought that was, like, a weird...
Well known.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, Brie, why are you stirring the pot? Because then it, like, Lynette is super shocked and gets all, like, unnerved that Gabby is, like, trying to steal Tom, I guess. Or, like, fuck him. I don't know. So Lynette, like, gets home early from work, and she finds Gabby in the kitchen with Tom. And
okay, yeah, because Gabby sees him, like, struggling to take groceries in and, like, ends up in the kitchen. And they're just literally being friends. Like, it's not even weird.
Yeah, but again, like, as a friend, though, like, Lynette expressed that she was uncomfortable by that. Like, maybe Gabby should think a little more. Like, I don't know. Like, this whole thing is just so...
Well, she had her pigtails in, so she it was not a good look.
Yeah.
She wasn't thinking at all that day.
No, it was super weird.
About her actions, about anything.
Yeah, so then, like, Lynette's like, why were you there? Like, why are you there? And Gabby... essentially says exactly what it was. She was just helping Tom. And Lynette's like, I know about, like, the affair with John, so you better, like, watch yourself, essentially. Which was super, super fucking odd. Like, that has nothing to do with it. I almost want to be like, Lynette, like, that's bothersome regardless of if Gabby, like, had an affair. You don't even need to really bring that up to make your point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was, like, kind of just being harsh, but that's just me. So then, like, Lynette and Tom, they're in bed, and she's, like, getting crazy. She kind of has, like, crazy eyes and that, like, quiver in her voice, you know, like, all the time. And she's like, is there something going on? And Tom's like, no, like, I can't help it if women are drawn to me. And he's like, not helping the situation. So, like, Lynette just kind of looks at him, and she's like, again, like, I feel like everybody except for Bree is, like, making Lynette feel like she's overreacting or being crazy. I'm like, Tom, like, if your wife is that worried about it, maybe don't say, like, I can't help it if women are drawn to me.
He was joking, but it wasn't a good joke at the time.
I get that he's joking, but it's, like, it's not helping this. Like, she knows he's joking, but it's, like, maybe be a little more sensitive to what your wife is, like, trying to talk to you about. Because it's awkward. So then, like, in the meantime, I'm going to kind of just overlap Gabby and Lynette's storylines as we go. But in the meantime, like, Gabby now realizes that everybody knows about her affair, which, again, I thought this already kind of happened.
I think it was just Susan. I don't know.
Because, like, the fashion show was very public. And then, like, Carlos's courtroom blow up was also very public, like, when John stormed in. So I just feel like, I don't know why Gabby's surprised that people are talking about the affair.
It's just been a minute. She was like, I was pregnant. I had a whole miscarriage, bitches. Since I said I cheated.
Yeah. And then Gabby tells Carlos, like, he can have an affair to even the score. And she's like, you could do it with anybody you want. So I guess this does set up what ends up happening later a little bit. But Carlos, like, kind of laughs her off because, like, no one feels like that's serious. Like, that obviously sounds like it's almost like a test. Like, and you know in movies where, like, husbands are like, ah, I'm getting tested by my wife. This is an example of that. But so after, like, her awkward confrontation with Gabby where, like, nothing really got resolved, she decides to, like, go over to their house and tries to, like, make amends with Gabby. And they're, like, talking and, like, basically, like, Lynette and her come to this, like, point where they, like, Lynette, I think, thinks that Gabby is actually, like, sorry. And then Gabby thinks that Lynette is, like, admitting that she overreacted. So they, like, have some smoothies, which I felt like, I don't know, I feel like in movies and TV shows, people are always making smoothies, but I don't think I've ever had a smoothie with you. Basically, Lynette, like, apologizes for overreacting. And we don't even really see the whole conversation. Like, she just kind of says, like, I'm sorry. Like, I overreacted. And, like, like, she's like, I've been an idiot. I hurt your feelings and like all this stuff. And then it like cuts to them like laughing and drinking smoothies.
Well, she's like, first of all, making a milkshake, which was bizarre.
Also, there's no way Gabby would ever.
That's why I was like, a milkshake. This is so strange to me. She's literally scooping ice cream. And she plays hard to get at first.
Yeah, like, she like Lynette's isn't really like, responding.
I came over to like talk about it, and she's like, I don't know.
Yeah, so then like they're drinking these milkshakes, and Carlos walks in. He's like, the coast's clear, and basically like Gabby's like, yeah, like Lynette admitted she was wrong, and I agreed. And I'm like, Gabby, why the fuck would you say it like that? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, you're setting yourself up to just make it worse. And so Lynette's like, well, 99% wrong. And Gabby's like, okay, whatever, close enough. Like, no big deal. So Lynette's like, okay, I'm going to leave now because Tom's making dinner. And so she, like, gets up to leave and then kind of, like, comes back in. And she's like, you know what that 1% is, right? And Gabby, I swear to God, she's like, no. Like, I don't. I'm sorry. And Lynette's like, okay, well, it's kind of important that you understand this because, like, I don't know how our friendship can go on if we don't even really understand what each other's feeling right now.
Yeah.
So Gabby's like, well, I guess, okay. And so Lynette's like, you don't see how this would, like, bother you? Like, I get that I overreacted, but, like, I think if, like, oh, and then, so then Gabby makes a comment, like, if I had kissed anyone else's husband, like, it would have just been laughed off and we would have moved on a few, like, right away.
Yeah.
And Lynette's like, okay, well, like, I don't know how you could, like, and Carlos is, like, kind of in the room while this is happening, drinking his milkshake right by them. And Lynette's like, yeah, Lynette's like, let's test that. So she, like, grabs onto Carlos and starts making out with him. And at first, Carlos kind of looks at Gabby. And Gabby's like, I don't know, it's a waste of time. Like, I don't know why you're doing this. Like, not bothering me. It's fine. So then they keep making out, and it goes pretty crazy. And Carlos starts to clearly get into it. And that's when Gabby's like, all right, all right, all right. And she, like, yanks him off of her. So she's like, I get the point. Like, I understand. And Lynette's like, all right,
finally.
Cool.
So it took somebody making out with her husband to understand what it felt like.
Yeah. And then kind of like the cherry on top at the end, we see, like, Carlos, like, go over there and, like, hit on Lynette. Like, straight up hit on Lynette and, like, talks about having an affair with her. And Lynette's like, what? And just kind of, like, laughs it off and, like, goes into her house. Like, it's, like, the weirdest. Like, he kind of tells her what's going on but doesn't. And, like, it's, I've never seen, like, what did he think that Lynette would just be like, yeah, fuck Tom?
Like, I know. I was wondering what he thought the response would be.
I know.
But he's like, yeah, so just, like, keep that in mind. Like, Gabby's
so
like,
crazy.
We have an affair. And mm-hmm. she's like, okay. And he's like, so I'm just kind of wondering, like, if you, like, what you think of that. I'm wondering your thoughts. And she's like, I don't have any. Like, that was so what else did he think was going to happen?
He's friends with Tom. Like, this is so nutty. Like,
he leaves it open too. He says, if you ever do, let me know. And it's like, what the fuck?
I so badly want a follow-up scene where Lynette tells Tom what happened. And Tom, like, gets pissed the fuck off.
I am super curious. Because he is like, okay, so he might not have kissed. Well, he did kiss Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Tom didn't go to Gabby and be like, so do you want to hook up? Like, he's taking it a step further.
No, it's super, super weird.
I also didn't see a ton of chemistry in their kiss. Like, I didn't think they would bang. Like,
no, never.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it was a really good kiss, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah. So, wild times. I feel like Gabby's not being a good friend, honestly.
No, she's not even trying to be a good friend.
She's not even trying to be, like, empathetic and be like, I feel like any normal person would be like, I get it. Like, sorry that I kissed your husband, but she's mm-hmm. being a complete dick. And, like, yeah, I feel bad for Lynette. And I
Me
don't
too.
Feel bad that everybody's bringing up the affair again. I think they should. You slept with an underage man.
Yeah, and, like, and now you're kissing someone's husband. Like, naturally, that's going to come up. Like, I don't know why
Nobody
she thinks.
Nobody should ever forgive you. I don't understand. Yeah. Like,
no. Fuck no.
You literally committed a felony. Like, fucking gross.
Yeah.
And now you're out here kissing husbands like you're a swinger. I don't, yeah. I'd have a major issue. Bigger Super than Lynette weird. Had. Lynette was being really chill about everything.
No, Lynette handled it with grace, if you ask me.
I would have been handling it like I was in the ghetto. Like,
me too.
Yeah, one thing I want to note, when they were cleaning up after the party, Edie once again mentions the Applewhites. They asked, like, if the Applewhites were there, and Bree said they never RSVP'd, and they're kind of like, what do you think of them? And people are like, they're interesting, and Edie's like, I think they're weird, too. So Edie just is there to say what we're all thinking. They just kind of mentioned that. So everybody's, like, getting on to the Applewhites, Edie especially at this point.
Like, so quickly, though. Yeah. Like, I'm like, they really didn't try with this, like, mystery. Like, oh, man. Yeah,
Edie is out for them this episode. But... if you're wondering how Susan and Mike are doing, because Mike was never going to talk to her again.
Yeah.
They're doing well because nothing happened and they're apparently friends again now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, every episode, it feels like their relationship jumps wildly into a different direction.
So if you've been wondering, if it's been like keeping you up at night, like they're going to get back together, it seems. So
yeah.
I'll run through what's going on with Susan, and we're gonna have the worst storyline of the episode right here, right now. So it's after the party, and Susan's walking her skinny little butt home, and she sees that Zach is back, and she's like, what the fuck? And she runs over to Mike's and tells him. And she's like, look, right there. And she, like, points at Zach, and it's not discreet. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's been here a few days. And she's like, oh, well, that's great, right? Like, why aren't you happy? Because Mike says it in a deadpan tone. And Mike had an idea in his head about how he wanted it to go when Zach returned. He wanted to build a relationship and tell him he's his daddy-o. But Paul is not letting that happen. And Paul came over and threatened to tell the police about, like, holding him at gunpoint in the desert. You know, Paul doesn't have a record. I do. And Susan says a bonkers line. She says, despite sending him away, I really want you and Zach to connect. And I'm like, that is a contradiction if there ever was one.
She cannot for the life of her commit to how she feels about this situation. Like, she's, it's
like, sorry I gave him $1,000 to get his ass out of town. Sorry I gave him $1,000.
Yeah.
Probably. We don't know the monetary amount, but they have a moment over this horrible line, and there's a moment. And Mike's like, on the bright side, I don't have to wonder where he is anymore. And I guess that's all the reconnection they ever needed. Because apparently, after this, they go motherfucking bowling together. If you're wondering where it went, they go to a bowling alley, a 2005 bowling alley. So that's where the storyline ends up. So Zach comes over to Susan as he gets home with Julie, and he has some things to say. Zach has hit puberty at this point. He's looking a lot bigger than he did in previous seasons. Season one, aka. He says, I know I did a lot of bad stuff, can't take it back, really sorry. When I was homeless, I had a lot of time to think. And we're like, wow, Zach's just fucking gone through it. And he's like, I won't be bothering you anymore, either of you. And Julie, like, looks a little sad about this, and I'm like, don't be, he was a school shooter.
Yeah.
And Susan's like, thanks. And he said, don't tell my dad I came over here. He's been really intense. And Susan and Julie, like, talk about it a bit. Julie's like, he seems different. So she's wet over it, apparently.
God, yeah.
And so Susan feels sorry for him. I'm like, when did you guys, like, you guys, what the hell is happening? Yeah.
Julie, just out the window, everything they felt.
Yeah, you told him to kick rocks. Susan, you sent him away. Like, I just can't with these people.
No.
With these ladies. Julie apparently knows that Paul is homeschooling him for some reason. He has to be with Paul all the time. And Susan thinks he should spend some time with a decent role model. And they now have to plan to kick it at the bowling alley. Susan goes to Mike. She brings him the idea about bringing them together. they say bowl. When they say the word bowling, this is the first mention of it. I know I've told you guys this happens, but they're like, we were thinking bowling. And I was floored. I was completely floored. I was like, that's what they fucking think is going to bring them together. And Julie emailed Zach to tell
him. Wait, let me just email. Let me shout that out because everybody needs to be aware that it was email. Emailed him. Fucking crazy.
There was AIM Messenger. I guess Zach didn't have that this time. But no. This took me for a ride. So Mike is like, does Paul know? And Susan is like, no, we're not going to tell him. And he's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And it's not, because you're essentially like kidnapping his son.
Yeah. No, that's fucking crazy.
And basically Mike checks with Julie that she's good, and she says that he's changed with no proof of this whatsoever. So I guess they're all going bowling, and then they're at the bowling alley, and Zach is like, I didn't know Mike would be here, which would be weird, I guess.
That would be a little, like, I'd be like, why? What's going on?
Yeah, and it's weird because Zach's going to tell you exactly why in, like, 5 minutes. Zach is really uncomfortable that he's there. Mike, and they're on a team together. They do girls versus boys. And Mike is looking disappointed that Zach fucking blows at bowling. Because he does. He gets a gutter ball, and he's like, sorry, Mike. And he's really awkward about it. And then Zach has a bit of a monologue, and he says, why are you guys being so nice to me? This is fucking weird. I pointed a gun at you. You should hate me. And I am like, he's the most reasonable person of this bunch right now. And they're like, you had a hard year. You should, like, yeah, you had a really hard year, and it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. And then Mike gives him a pep talk and is like, I did time in prison. And Susan is like, I'll go help Julie with the food, because Julie, like, walked away. And, like, Mike ends up giving Zach a little bit of a bowling lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mike is being way too nice, and it's, like, weird.
The whole, like, this whole Zach thing is just so strange, because I don't really understand why everyone's so attached to him all of a sudden. Like, I guess, like, from Mike's point of view, I can kind of get it, but it just, this all feels very forced, and there's not a lot of chemistry between the actors.
Absolutely not. There's no chemistry. Yeah. It's so animatronic. Like, I'll just cover, like, Paul and Zach for a minute, and, like, what happens after this, because that's essentially where Susan's storyline ends. And, like, all we see. But
which, thank God, might be better for it.
Yeah. So I have to mention, Zach is rocking hardcore the puka shell necklace yet again. And he's chilling at home with Paul, and they're talking about reading, and Paul's like, homeschooling won't be so bad. So we have that scene at the beginning. And Zach brings up again, like, Mrs. Tillman. I think he's brought it up once before. He's like, and Mrs. Tillman once told me that, like, Mike took you somewhere to kill you because you killed Mrs. Huber. And Paul is like, come again.
He's like, what do you know again?
And he's like, yeah, she said you killed Mrs. Huber because she was blackmailing Mom. And Paul says, and you believed her? It's
like, God, gaslighting. Okay. This kid's never going to be okay.
And he says, no, but should I? And he says, you know me better than anyone. Do you believe I'm capable of murder? And I don't know why that's everybody's line. It's like, do you think I'm capable? It's like, I think anybody's capable. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. And he said, I didn't think Mom was capable of suicide either. And Paul just changes the subject like a true dickwad. So that's it. And then
he's like, we're done talking about this.
Yeah, bowling happens. Next thing we know, Zach's sleeping back at home. I guess he got home safe from bowling. Where did Paul think he was? Paul comes to take a book off his chest that he had been reading for his homeschool, and he finds a written down bowling scores in the trash. Like, they had TVs at the time. They had, like, a computer system. He didn't need to write down the score, but he did, I guess. He said, what the hell is this internally? And I said, you already know he goes to chat with Mike. So he goes over. And when I say chat, I mean punch him in the face, because he just goes over to Mike and punches him in the face.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
And he's like, stay away from my son. And Susan sees that the men are fighting, gets distracted by a car, and we'll come back to this later. But I do have to mention that Zach and Julie share a kiss.
Sadly.
Zach is playing the sad boy part and, like, playing guitar on his porch alone.
I almost want to be like, Julie, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's doing such sad boy acting. And mm-hmm. Zach says, my dad found out I was bowling, so won't be able to do that anytime soon. And I'm like, why would you want to again? And he says, sorry. She says, somebody says sorry. And he says, I haven't felt like a part of a family in a long time. So, like, thanks for that. And then he's not even pulling any moves. He's like, got to get back inside. And Julie just, like, pulls him close and, like, kisses him on the cheek. And
I know. Like, it's insane.
I'm like, those hormones are out of control or something. He's wearing a puka shell necklace. Like, stop.
Also, like, after everything, you know, like, really, like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's really tragic. So so we could talk about Brie. Mm-hmm. And I found out Carl was a lawyer when we watched this. So I didn't know. Let me know if I did know this. I just didn't recall until now, but he's a lawyer, so he comes into play. I guess Brie calls upon Carl, but we'll get into that. So Andrew is still freely fucking Justin. Mm-hmm. He's outside talking with him, and Brie sees, and they kiss goodbye, and Brie literally breaks a glass, and she doesn't give a fuck. She finds another one and drinks more wine. And Andrew comes in, and Brie already has that new glass of wine, and she's like, come here. I saw what you did with your friend. And Andrew is just so sassy. He's just got wit, like nothing else. He says, oh, and you didn't turn into a pile of salt. Good for you. Or pillar of salt or something.
I'm like, I like that, actually. I like sassy Andrew.
And she says, this is not a joke. What if people saw? And he's like, well, I hope they think I landed a hottie. And I'm like, Justin is kind of ripped, so.
I appreciate that Andrew appreciates his man.
Yes. He says, I can't. She says, I can't control you like anywhere else, but while you're in this home, you will not mock my values. And she's just completely losing it. Mm-hmm. And she says, if you so much as smile at that boy, I will send you back to Camp Hennessy and not pick you up till you're 18. And she walks away, and he's like, aren't you forgetting the rest of the bottle? I know you like to knock a few back. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh my fucking god,
no fucks given anymore.
And he says, out of the two of us, I'm the one that doesn't judge, so just drink. And I did tell Jordan, I'm like, Brie always has a glass of wine lately. Mm-hmm. But I guess her husband died and her lover died,
and he killed her husband.
Yeah, so I guess I'd be drinking a lot of wine too. Mm-hmm. Next thing we know, Brie has made breakfast for Andrew, and I have this question a lot lately. Where is Danielle?
I don't know. They forgot that she exists, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like she's gonna have major problems. Like, she's just the forgotten child.
Yeah, she is.
Andrew doesn't answer when she knocks. And Brie just walks in and finds that he's freely fucking Justin. Like, mm-hmm. they're just in sleep, naked in bed.
Yep.
He says, I'm Andrew's new lab partner at school. And Brie is like, Andrew, just get the fuck downstairs. And she doesn't even acknowledge this kid. And Brie is pacing, and her heart rate is probably through the roof. She's having a panic attack. And he comes downstairs, but I don't think Justin did. And she says, go back upstairs and tell your friend that he's no longer welcome in this house. And Andrew's like, no, no thanks. And yeah. Brie says she's going to call the police. Andrew's like, go ahead. And I wonder how they're going to react knowing that you killed George Williams. And it comes back. And he says, I'm no lawyer, but I'm pretty sure there is a crime in there somewhere. So he's got that information. Says that he's glad it happened. But when the police know that I'm living with a homicidal maniac, like, you know, what's going to happen to you? And Brie is like, would you actually let them arrest your own mother? And he says, we all got to cut the apron strings at some point. So Andrew is fucking ruthless.
Yeah, no, he does not give a fuck.
He's like, I will fuck Justin when and where I want to. You will not tell me no. So this is where Carl comes into play. Mm-hmm. Loving that we're getting more of Carl. I didn't know that. I assumed that he had some sort of sales position. That's the vibe I got from him. But
he does give a salesman vibe for sure.
Yeah, I guess he's a lawyer, and now I can understand his fuckboy antics a bit better, because I've heard that lawyers have the highest rate of like narcissistic personality disorders. Like,
really?
The types of people taking the job or like becoming lawyers are like more likely to be narcissistic.
Interesting.
Which I'm not again. Like, cool, whatever. Nothing against narcissists. Nothing against lawyers. Defend.
Nothing against narcissists.
Nothing against lawyers. Just be really into yourself. I don't care. If you just pass the LSAT and pass the bar, good for you.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
3 years of law school. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So either way, Bree brings Carl in. He's an attorney. And she's like, when is like the attorney-client privilege? Like, when does that take effect? And he's like, the moment they're hired. And she gives him $100 as a retainer. And I truly don't think that's enough. But she hires him. And she says, my son is trying to blackmail me. And I want you to stop him. And next thing we know, Andrew's back playing his lame video game. And Bree steps in front of the TV and is like, turn it off. My lawyer wants to have a chat with you. And they sit down and Carl is being very lawyery and explaining how Bree never committed a crime by witnessing the suicide. And Andrew's like, I must have heard something wrong. Like, what if she went over there to help him commit suicide? And she says, if you go and lie to the police, I'm going to sue you. It's an abuse of the process, yada, yada. They talk a little bit about this and he says, you can't sue me. I'm just a kid. She's like, I don't give a fuck. Andrew gets even more vicious. He says, if the cops don't care, your friends will, because he's realizing he can't go to the cops and it's frustrating him. And so he's like, I'm going to humiliate you. And Carl's like, hey, Bree, go get some coffee. Hey, bitch, get in the kitchen. He says something like that.
Yeah.
And when she gets up, Carl grabs Andrew by his little throat and pushes him against the wall, which this is not the first time this is happening, Andrew. So
yeah, no.
Flashback to when Rex was hotter than ever. The only time Rex was truly hot.
Yeah. Literally the only time.
So he grabs Andrew and he's like, your dad was a friend of mine. And Jordan and I have debated this. Were they friends? Because
I doubt it.
I never saw them hanging out. But
never.
He says, and if Rex were here to see the wit, like what a nasty little turd you've turned into, he'd knock the hell out of you. And Andrew's like, well, he's not here, is he? And Carl says, he isn't. But if you don't treat your mother with respect, I will take care of you myself. Do you understand? And I said, Bria is looking ambivalent, like behind the door. She like hears it all.
Yeah, she's like living, honestly.
So that's where Bree ends up. And then we see that Bree's being a little bit gossipy to Lynette throughout the episode, telling her about the affair. Yeah, that's Bree. But back to Paul, because I was explaining to y'all how Paul goes to punch Mike in the face.
Yeah.
That happens. He punches Mike in the face after he finds out about bullying. And Susan sees that they're fighting and she gets distracted and she hits a car. And it's the car that the Applewhites put a body into in the trunk of. And everyone looks at Paul because it's Paul's car. And I said, what the fuck? So next thing we know, Susan's giving a statement to the police. And well, they said they don't know whose car it is, but they all look at Paul. I guess it was in front of his house. I don't understand what's going on with this car.
Yeah, they don't. I guess it's not really clear.
Oh, no, no, no. It's the dude's car.
Yeah,
it's
that's what I thought.
We don't know his name, but I don't know why everybody looked at Paul.
Because, like, whatever, there's a dead body. I guess he's the, you just assume. Like,
Paul. Yes, never mind. So it's not Paul's car. Scratch that. The Applewhites are watching from their porch and Matt looks at Betty and he's like, are you worried? And Betty is like, just be patient. I'm not worried. And the ladies are having their own little chat on the side and they're all like, do you think it's Paul? And Gabby's like, I saw his face when he looked at the trunk. He was just as shocked as I was, or somebody says that. And Edie is coming in. She was out for blood from the beginning. She says, I think it's the Applewhites.
Yeah, she's like, this is weird as fuck.
He said he was doing an appraisal on the house and I got a little like irritated and I checked with all the realtors in town and nobody's ever heard of him. And the Applewhites are fishy. They bought the house sight unseen and they moved in the middle of the night. And I'm like, good point. Good point.
Yeah, lots of good points.
So Edie is the best detective on Wisteria Lane.
Yeah.
Susan brings up the noises when there was the hip hop episode.
Yeah.
She is like, and there were noises in the basement when I was like learning to play the piano. And Betty lied straight to my face. And Matt and Betty wave at the, like, as the women all look over at the same time. And, like, they wave. And Betty's, like, worried as fuck now. And they tow the car away. So Mary Alice Young takes us out. So she says, each act varies. But each kiss carries with it a meaning all its own. It can convey a husband's eternal devotion or a wife's enormous regret. It can symbolize a mother's growing concern or a lover's growing passion. But whatever it's meeting, each kiss reflects a basic human need, the need to connect to another human being. The desire is so strong, it's always amazing when some people don't understand it. Cue Paul. He's on that scene. Yeah. He's on that scene. So yes. It was quite an interesting episode.
Mm-hmm. No, but absolutely. In reflecting on said episode, let's jump into our fuck, marry, kills, because I'm dying to know what you picked.
Okay, I'm going to fuck Carl.
No!
You hate it. You hate it every time, but I had to. He was defending Bree. He did a chokehold on Andrew. He was just so loyal. Like, he could defend me against the law.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know he was a lawyer. It makes it very hot to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to just... It's like a one-night stand. Like, I wouldn't marry the guy, but Carl did it for me this episode.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to marry Tom.
Okay.
Because although his timing was bad with his jokes about the kiss, like, he is eternally, like, devoted to Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
Like... he didn't do what Carlos did and go over to Gabby after and be like, hey, do you want to have an affair?
Yeah.
So I would marry Tom.
Okay.
Although I don't like that he accepted a kiss from Gabby. She did grab his face, two cheeks, and her hands and kiss him. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to choose to marry Tom. I'm going to choose to kill Gabby because I don't like that she kissed Tom.
Yeah.
And... that's my stance on it. I'm Team Lynette.
Me too. So. I was gonna kill Gabby too, so we're on the same page with that.
Okay. I know you would never fuck Carl.
I wouldn't. I'm sorry, but I will kill Gabby because her behavior this episode was just so stupid. Like, I was like, you really can't even for one second empathize with your friend. Like, you, it, I don't know. Like, that was so bizarre.
Truly emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, and then, Mary.
Tough one.
Yeah,
because Tom did something bad. I agree. Like, it was it was hard to say Tom.
I would probably say Tom to Mary, I guess, as well, because, like, you're right, like, he was just trying to lighten the moment and, like, not let it get out of control.
Yeah.
And then fuck, I'd be down with a Lynette Carlos threesome just to see what would happen.
Whoa,
there.
Oh, yeah. That's surprising. I thought you were going to do interested. Justin Andrew again. No. I thought that was going to be my guess. But,
no, okay. I was like, you know, they didn't have a ton of chemistry, but they both seem like they'd be fun. So maybe throw me in the mix and their chemistry would be there. Who knows? And then for Housewife of the Week, man, who do you want to nominate?
This is a fucking tough one.
My brain goes to Lynette because I do like the way she handled everything. Because I think she handled it very rationally, actually.
I want to go with Edie.
Oh, actually, yeah. Edie's fucking catch. She's having a whole detective show on the side.
Out here is just solving mysteries. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. She didn't really have a monologue, but her lines were delivered so, like, crisply. Like, I appreciated that Edie was just like, I think the Applewhites are fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, I think enough, the Applewhites killed this dude. Like,
yeah. No, so, I agree.
I like her detective work, that she's just really out here on her own. Like, I liked that she wasn't involved in any drama. She just was out here like, mm-hmm. This guy is not going to sell a house in this neighborhood. This is my territory.
Yeah. So I think I agree. Let's give it to Edie. Yeah.
Wow. First time, maybe.
It's up there. Yeah. It's one of the few.
Okay. Well, I love that so much for her.
Me too.
Okay. I have my... Apple rating.
I do too.
Okay.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
3.75.
Wow. I went a little bit higher. Yeah, I did the same as the last episode because I gave the last episode 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't give this much lower. I did think it was better in some respects, but lacking a lot of others. I thought they came out even a little bit.
I gave this one higher marks this episode because it was better than last time for me. I also did really like the Lynette Gabby storyline because it felt like a very much like something Real Housewives would actually maybe run into. And it, yeah. like, I thought that was fun. And it kind of, like, I liked that the ladies were actually doing stuff together again. Like, a plot that included more than just one doing their own thing.
Yeah.
I didn't love this episode, though. Honestly, aside from that plot line, it's kind of forgettable.
Yeah. If, like, we didn't watch it this, like, in depth, I would have forgotten everything but the Gabby. I would have been like, oh, that episode where, like, Gabby makes out with Tom.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have remembered much else. Like, because the bowling was truly heinous. Like, I can't, like, the bowling.
And, like, the Susan Mike storyline just doesn't make any sense. Like, that's what's...
That I think... Now they're, like, buds again. Yeah. I would be like, bitch, you can get away from me and Zach forever, because who's to say you aren't going to send him away again when you feel mm-hmm. threatened?
Like, yeah.
So it didn't make sense that they just, like, made up all of a sudden.
Or that she would, like, bring Julie with her to spend time with Zach.
Oh, my,
like,
God, and that Julie that is, like, turned thing. On by Zach now.
Yeah, it just, like, didn't make any sense. So I was kind of, like, low marks on that.
Maybe it's, like, when we left middle school. Like, every summer, you know, you wouldn't necessarily see all the people in your class, mm-hmm. obviously. So you come back. And, like, some people got kind of hot over the summer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that ever happened at your school, but it happened for me. Like, we went back to mm-hmm. ninth grade, and I was like, whoa, some people got kind of
they
hot.
They had a glow up. Yeah.
So maybe that's what she's feeling about Zach, but also she hated him so much. Like, mm-hmm.
she was terrified understand. Of him.
Yeah. She was, like, reporting him about all the fucking shit he did. Like,
mm-hmm.
didn't make any sense to me. Bree and Andrew, although I like Andrew's sassiness, I didn't feel like it was that compelling that she hired Carl as a lawyer, because now she's just told one other person about how she watched George Williams die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but at least he's, like, soulless, so it's fine.
Yeah, I like his narcissistic tendencies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, overall, it didn't quite do it. I wanted more making out. I wanted more tongues down throats. Mm-hmm. If you're calling the episode One More Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just rather forgettable. I don't care about the Applewhites still.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they get caught soon. And yeah, I don't like Paul. So...
Yeah,
I'm aligned with all the reasons you gave.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we kind of hit that together. Yeah. Like, we both just thought it was, like, whatever.
Yeah, it was just very meh episode.
So I see why you think season two is maybe the worst.
It's just, like, really inconsistent.
I'm getting it. They had a couple banger episodes,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So, well, that wraps up season 2 episode 11 today.
Mm-hmm.
And next week we're going to be doing season 2 episode 12. I think this mm-hmm. is our official halfway mark of the season.
Yeah,
I think that's 24
for sure.
episodes. So
yeah,
thank you for coming along this ride with us, mm-hmm. this journey. We love having you around.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also love to hear from you if you have anything to say about Desperate Housewives or any other sort of franchise that you're obsessed mm-hmm. with that these actors are in. I do have to say, I listened to another podcast about Law and Order,
mm-hmm.
and they cover an episode called Chameleon that Macy Gibbons, the lady who plays Macy Gibbons, is in this Law and Order episode.
Really?
As the person who commits the crime, yes.
Interesting.
She plays a prostitute that kills men.
Oh, so she's like... got a little bit of a typecasting going on here.
Yes, she does. She's a guest star. She's a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're interested in that, I think it's one of the earlier seasons. You can also watch that on Hulu, but it's an episode called Chameleon.
Hmm.
But yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys any way that you'd like. We have an email. We have mm-hmm. our Instagram. We post some fun stuff on there from every episode. We have a Twitter, and we tweet every week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, other than that, tune in every Monday. Our next episode's going to be out on Monday. So with all that being said, we leave you with our words of wisdom to know your neighbors.
As always, know your neighbors.